Bill Owens, tell me about postal delivery on Saturdays. Look, I knew from the first day that email started to proliferate that it was going to break the post office. And so now we're going to say no Saturday. And of course, when you do that, there are going to be people who are angry. What do you make of the whole situation?
Well, you know, Alan, clearly you're right that email has had a huge impact on this process. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's very difficult, I think, for the post office to change. But a farmer in Washington County really laid it out for me. He happens to be a supervisor over there as well. And he said, look, we're getting hit in rural communities twice. They're reducing our postal delivery service, but they're also not providing us adequate internet. So if people believe that the internet is taking the place of the mail delivery system, for those who live in rural communities, and that's the vast majority of my district, this is a real potential double hit. And I think that that's a very important point that people have to understand, that there's a difference between reducing Saturday delivery in Manhattan versus reducing Saturday delivery in Washington County, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the post office has not done a very good job of parsing those issues. And that, to me, is very unfortunate. Because what it looks like to me, and I've indicated this to Mr. Donahue, is that what they are trying to do is save relatively small amounts of money by going after rural communities with the various closings that they've proposed, that they've done, and also the reduction of Saturday delivery. This has a real impact on rural communities. You don't hear as much negative when you talk to people in more urban and suburban areas.
But, of course, Saturdays are days when people have a little bit more time off. And, you know, some of these post offices, certainly is true in my little towns in around Great Barrington and Egremont and some of these other places in Massachusetts, some of these places, they become community centers that people meet, they talk, they do politics.
Not only do they do politics, but they do something maybe even more essential than that. They take care of one another in these rural communities.
Sure.
So if Mrs. Jones hasn't come in and picked up her mail, the postmaster or mistress is going to know that and might communicate it to some of her friends so that somebody can go check on her. This has a much broader impact than people realize who live in, again, urban, suburban settings.
So let me ask you this. If this is the case and the Postal Service is going broke, then what to do?
Well, first of all, for the first time, Mr. Donahue, that I've heard anyway...
He's the Postmaster General?
Postmaster General. Yeah. He indicated in a hearing that he certainly thought that the change in benefit funding was very important. That's $5.5 billion a year. That contributed to a significant amount of a loss. Needs to be changed. So that's a big number. They, in my view, need to go out and seek additional revenue sources, and one that I became aware of is that the FedEx UPS in many rural communities uses the post office for the last mile because it's more efficient than it is to in effect have a FedEx truck or a UPS truck going out in rural communities. And since this system already exists, why not take advantage of it? I think the post office needs to look at other revenue opportunities as well. I can't tell you that I have a list for them to look at, but clearly that's the direction I think they should be going. Understanding that they may have to take some smaller post offices potentially and reduce hours, that's certainly understandable, but I think that should be done in conjunction with the community, because it may be that in a particular community, it's better to close the post office on Wednesday than Friday, than Saturday. Because you're right, people have time off, they go to the post office. All of those things we need to look at.
So let me talk to you a little bit about guns. Obviously, a lot of people in the North Country use guns and want guns and gun reform. Andrew Cuomo comes along and both houses of the legislature, and they pass a sweeping gun reform package. And now you have the argument that nothing's any good unless it's national, unless it's nationwide. Where stand you?
Well, first of all, I believe that the most important thing here is to understand what is going to stop the Sandy Hooks from happening again. What are those elements that will stop it? it seems to me that virtually everybody agrees, people who have great expertise in this, that broader background checks are clearly one way to go. We also have Senator Gillibrand's bill that focuses on gun running or what's known as straw purchases, that those are also extremely important. We also know that more than 90% of gun crime is done with handguns, not with rifles. If you look around my district, whether the old 23rd or the new 21st, I bet in the last 20 years I could count on one hand the number of gun crimes committed with a rifle. Those frequently are hunting accident issues. So I think as you look at this, we have to focus on what reality is, not what we assume reality is. And so from my perspective, I'm supporting the gun running bill. I'm supporting the legislation to enhance background checks. Obviously, I want to see it first to make sure that it does have appropriate protections in it. But that's really where I'm landing at this point.
Isn't Wayne LaPierre and National Rifle Association just opposed to any of this stuff? And therefore, how do you get it through a conservative majority in the House of Representatives?
Well, you know, Mr. Boehner has indicated that if anything comes out of the Senate, he will put it on the floor for a vote. So hopefully that's in fact what will happen. He also promised to do that with the farm bill and did not. So I'm hopeful that he keeps his word this time and puts the bill on the floor if it comes over.
I would only recommend that nobody hold their breath on this one. Tell me about jobs. You got a plan to get some more jobs going?
Yes, we do. We're looking at a number of things, but you know, again, I continue to focus on issues related to the Canadian opportunities that exist. In March, I'm hosting a group to talk about the Beyond the Border Agreement and how that could move more Canadian jobs across the border. We also got an announcement about two, three weeks ago. CSX is putting tens of millions of dollars into improving their rail line coming out of Montreal through Messina and going towards Syracuse, which is very important because it then gives a mode of transportation for goods that are manufactured or packaged or whatever might be done to them in Messina, Ogdensburg, and those areas to bring to put those goods into transit. So we're starting to see some things develop that I think are very good. We're having ongoing discussions about issues related to making sure that we have the schools and BOCES training people for the jobs that are available. The community college is doing the same thing. That's a very broad, ongoing conversation that I'm continuing to work on because that continues to be a huge issue of matching the job need with the job skills.
Congressman Bill Owens, always wonderful to have you with us. When we come back the next time, I got a lot more for you, okay? Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.